Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Hello, this is your host, Ann Ravel Petcher, for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, and I'm here today with my producer, Angie Hand. Hello, Angie.
Hello.
Oh, I gotta just make sure the mic is on, don't we? We're going to have a really fun show today. It's such an exciting week. There's so much to do coming back from a four-day week. It's always 5-day weeks always seem so long, don't they? But we have in the studio today David Menzies, who's with Innovative Public Relations, and he's their president. Hey, David.
Hey, Ann.
Great to have you here.
Thank you
for coming on up.
Appreciate it.
We also have Justin Thomas, who's with Crosscom, and he's the CEO over there. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Ann. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you're here. So I'm going to start today's discussion talking to you, Justin, for a few minutes about Crosscom. What is Crosscom?
So Crosscom is a mobile and web app development studio, and our mission is to help organizations and companies achieve their digital aspirations. So what that looks like on a practical level is we build sophisticated websites and custom-built mobile apps.
Wow. Okay. So for any platform, for...
Any platform, we specialize in the technologies that we think are the best for our clients, and that tends to be those that are highly scalable, something that you want to build and have thousands, if not millions of users, and something that has a great user experience. So as you know, every business at this point has a website, or most of them do,
yeah,
but not necessarily a great website, or right, something that's very sophisticated mm-hmm. and on the back end. So we take that sophistication to the next level beyond just brochureware. If you're a business and you want something to integrate with multiple APIs, we help with that.
You know, a lot of the people listening are going, what's multiple API? What is a multiple API?
Yeah, so think of that when you want to access data and you're a company and you may have several different pieces of information within your organization uh-huh. and you want it to talk in one beautiful website or mobile app. And so our team of developers, we help to essentially extract that data and put it on your website or mobile app.
You've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
A little bit. So yeah. I enjoy technology, and I enjoy it primarily from an end-user experience. So I originally came down and got into the mobile app field through the healthcare mobile app industry.
Excellent.
Here in Raleigh-Durham. And
big
now,
here.
Yeah, and excited to get plugged into the scene in downtown Durham.
So you actually deployed one of the first 500 apps on iTunes.
We did.
That was a while ago.
We're really proud of that. So as you may know, and the listeners know, there are tons of apps available for download. In fact, there's over 1 million on the Apple iTunes Store. There's over 1 million on the Google Play Store. And we can say that we built one of the very first, ones ever, and it was the in that block of the first 500.
Wow. What was it? Do you mind?
It was an app called Lumina, and it was a memory game there. And we actually deployed it before the SDK was available for the iPhone. So meaning, if you go back into the presentations of Steve Jobs, he's, and actually today at this time, it's the Apple Worldwide Developer Conference going on.
Oh, right, sure.
So our developers in the background, I told him, you better be listening to me, not Tim Cook. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually listening to Tim Cook rather than me there, and we'll listen to this afterwards. But so Steve Jobs unveils the iPhone, and it's a huge moment for our company. And during that presentation, our company knew we immediately needed to make a strategic pivot from doing websites to now getting into mobile apps. So at that time, we started building something without any knowledge of how to build it, what the screen size was going to be, what type of platform it was going to run off of. And it was a web app, and it worked on the iPhone when it first came out, stood in line, got the iPhone, the original one. And we had some bugs to get out there. But then eventually the iTunes App Store launched, and we're really proud to say we were one of the first 500 out there.
Wow. So you really come at this from a passionate perspective, right? I mean, you really started designing mobile apps because this intrigued you personally.
Yeah, and we want it to be something that is beneficial for end users. I mean, as we all know, we have smartphones now. And when we got into this business, it was, you know, there were still people with the Palm Treo devices. I had
a
Palm Treo 600, the brick phone. And that was a horrible user experience, having to lug that thing on the belt buckle. But they had some things right. And then the BlackBerry became popular in that mm-hmm. for the security. But there were pieces.
What were you, 12?
Misses. Yeah. So I've been on the cutting edge since
you
the beginning
have been.
Here. But It's been a lot of fun because I've gone from having a track phone, a flip phone of paying for minutes, to getting my first smartphone with the Palm Trio. And but for me, I come from it from the end user experience. Mm-hmm. The user experience is a big buzzword in our industry now.
Sure.
And so I'm very fortunate to have a team of developers that know the program behind it. And I can help concentrate on just sharing our story of Crosscom and the history. And hopefully we can engage the local community and build a great mobile app for whatever business needs they have.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the company?
Yeah, so Crosscom was founded in 98 here in
There were no
Durham.
Mobile apps in 98.
No mobile apps. In fact, that's just when HTML tags were being developed and the web was just the hot new thing. And it was before the big bubble burst and the dot-com burst there. But we were actually founded by a student at Duke University.
Oh.
And Don Shin founded the company in 98. And then from there, he had a real commitment to keep the company here in downtown Durham in this area. We did a lot of business development in New York City and other big places, but it's really important for the DNA, the identity of the company, to remain here. And so then we continue to do websites with the Duke University settings there, local nonprofits to give back. And then eventually, as I mentioned, recognized that this was a huge change with the iPhone being released. For the first time, we were going from a corporate user base for these devices to the everyday usage of these devices.
Right.
And then ever since then, we've been on the cutting edge, and we just got a pair of Google Glass in the office and part of their Glass Explorer program now. So that's the fun part of this industry. It's always changing, but you have to keep up with it.
Yeah. So who's wearing the glass?
Yeah. So we have the office is divided between iOS and iPhone users and lovers and apostles. And then we have the Android users, lovers and apostles there. And so the glass works really well. Pairs really well with the Android devices. And so I play around with it a little bit, but it's still a novelty item. It's one of those things
that
hasn't been adopted. And and honestly, I'm not sure it's going to be adopted.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is either. Yeah, they just look a little too goofy to me.
It looks goofy, but it's great to play around with. And that's what we get to do every day with new technology. And then just before this, I had a chance to play a little Super Nintendo in our office. So we do pay our respects to the legacy systems. and we like to have fun in the office as well.
Talk to me. You've mentioned end user experience a lot. Do you develop primarily for the consumer?
We've done consumer as well as now what we're seeing is that there's a shift in focus of organizations rather than just allowing an app for the end consumer to now be something beneficial for their staff members.
So kind of the old-fashioned intranet concept applied to apps.
Exactly. And so they said, you know, all of our employees are used to, there's no learning curve anymore. I mean, we're used to navigating the landscape of apps and the user experience without even knowing it. You don't have to be a developer. You know the back arrow is going to be on the top left, or you're used to the home button there at a certain location. You're used to navigating the screens with a touch and a feel. And I mean, it's incredible because I've got an 8-month-old daughter back home, and she's going to grow up with this technology. And, you know, before I know it, she's going to go up to the TV and think that this is a touchscreen and just expect that type of user experience.
You're going to have to get a touchscreen TV. That's all
we're
going to
have to do it. And so that's
after
that's
she's
part.
Over the peanut butter phase. So once that's not going to get on the screen.
Absolutely. but yeah, I mean, that's for me, that's the fun part is the user experience behind it. And what that means is you can have great technology. It can run on whatever platform you want. But if the users don't enjoy using it, then all that work and effort's for naught.
Yeah. So you are seeing, what, about 50-50 in your audience right now?
I'd say so.
Consumer and corporate apps?
And I think that as we progress, we'll see more of an emphasis onto those corporate apps to delight their employees. I think for a long time, we lost focus on how can we improve efficiency and productivity with our internal staff through a mobile application?
Sure.
And that's something that companies should look at.
Yeah. Actually, I have to say that the companies that are investing in, I guess you call it native apps, where essentially you've got a website, but then when you go using your mobile device, it fits better, it works better, it's designed for the mobile device. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Using the right term?
So now what's great is that there's all these new tools. And it used to be where you had a standalone website, and then you had to decide, what are you going to do on a mobile device?
Right.
And the two didn't play nicely together. But now design has come a long way, and so there's the responsive design elements where you can build a website that is going to respond to whatever the user screen is, whether that be a tablet or a phone. And that's a really nice way for businesses. And so if you're a small business, and you don't have a responsive site, then you need to change that immediately, because
a
lot of your
user
traffic is going to be coming on a mobile
phone. It makes me crazy.
Yeah. And so that's that user experience that we talked about. Right. And so those types of tips is what we enjoy sharing with our consumer base that's really busy with doing their day-to-day jobs. But that's the mobile element to it.
Right.
And so even if you don't have an app, you may not need an app, honestly. I mean, a lot of times we'll be honest with clients and say, you don't need an app.
Yeah.
What you need is a responsive website.
I think that that's probably where it's ultimately going to go, don't you? I mean, there's just too many apps to manage, right?
So that's a really interesting point, because it used to be build it and they will download it.
Right.
And now there's so much noise that you need to have a compelling business reason for your app.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you have to make that call
of
what is the business case scenario? Why would someone download this app?
Right.
And what benefit are they receiving before you think about how you can monetize that app afterwards?
Absolutely. I think people don't remember to spend enough time thinking about the audience that they're developing for.
Yeah. And so that's what we like to remind them of.
Excellent. You guys have a history of giving back. Tell me about some of the projects you've worked on.
Yeah. So, you know, we feel like being in business is not all about the bottom line. A successful business needs to be a sustainable business.
Mm-hmm.
But we have practical ways that we try to articulate both to our staff and our clients that we're a company that gives back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do that in a number of ways. One is for our internal staff, we have 10 days of ministry leave. And that's leave in addition to your standard sick and vacation time. But it allows our staff an opportunity to give back and do projects that they're passionate about, whether that's a missions trip out in the field, if that's teaching a class, or spending time with their children's class and being a chaperone. All under that umbrella of ministry leave. And that's something that I'm really proud of, that we've been able to maintain through thick and thin of the company. In addition to the ministry leave, we've also engaged the nonprofit community, whether that's been pro bono website work or through a project such as with a local nonprofit called Durham Cares through a shared value initiative.
Tell me a little bit more about that, about the Durham project.
So the Durham project took the theory of there's been an emphasis on corporate social responsibility, meaning that in the past, you know, businesses should give back. They have this profit and they should give back from their profits. And that's great. And that's meaningful. But what happens when that business doesn't have profits? Then no one else can benefit from that. So there's a flaw in that theory of corporate social responsibility. And so we need to change that thinking from corporate social responsibility to creating a shared value. And creating a shared value is a nice virtuous cycle of, within your day-to-day business practices, you're targeting an unmet need of the market in a way that benefits the society as well as benefits your bottom line, so that it helps create that profit rather than you have to rely on that profit to give back in that one-time gift or that one day that your employees can give back.
Yeah.
So I'm really passionate about that idea of creating a sustainable business that's successful, that's profitable. But what feeds that success is this ongoing commitment to giving back to the community. And we partner with Durham Cares to help articulate this idea to other local businesses in Durham through one-to-one interviews, and then to challenge ourselves. How do we do this at CrossCom in a very practical way? And one way that we try to do that and to live out this idea of creating shared value is through the idea of, in Durham and in our area, there's this high risk of at-risk youth.
Uh-huh.
You know, what do they do after school in between the time that parents get off work in a traditional 9-to-5? So we had an empty conference room or a break room, and so we are very flexible. We open that up to parents that need a place for a couple hours for their child to come in and study.
Hmm.
And so it benefits us as a company to maintain our employees doing work, doing billable hours,
and
allows them to be at ease with understanding where their child is, and they don't have to try to be stressed out with, you know, what do I do in this awkward hour or two. And it's a way of us trying to be creative, because we really enjoy, even though we're a technology company, we really enjoy having people in the office for collaboration and brainstorming. And so we thought, well, how can we minimize, you know, the risk of this idea of parents not knowing where their kids are and needing some extra coverage? So we open up one of our conference rooms, and that's how we try to live out this idea of creating shared value.
Tell me about the fun stuff. Tell me about Thirsty Thursdays.
So Thirsty Thursdays, we always like to engage the local community and have a break from the billable hours. And so what we've done is on Thursdays, we invite local businesses to come to our office and just share whatever idea you have for a mobile app or a website, or you're having a problem with your existing website. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. And so what we do is we open up our office.
It's a complaint session. It's a
therapy
session. Have a
beer
and complain about your mobile apps.
Exactly that. So it couldn't be Thursday without a drink. So it's a beverage of your choice. We have a lot of great ones to choose from and some beer connoisseurs in the office. So we make sure that your palate will enjoy it.
Very nice.
And it's a way for us to get to know what's going on in the local entrepreneur scene, as well as to share expertise and knowledge. Because what's the point of, you know, being on the forefront, being one of the companies, you know, first the web and first the mobile, without sharing what we've learned?
Sure.
And I think what's also important is to share our mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How many employees do you have now?
Yeah, so we have 8 employees.
That's great.
And it's a boutique development shop where we don't outsource the development work that we do.
Okay.
And we have senior development work, and that's the...
So
that's
you're looking
part.
For developers.
We are. As we continue to grow, we're looking for the right developers. And at the moment, we've just hired a front-end developer.
Oh,
and
great.
And we are in the process of looking for an iOS developer at the moment.
Great. Before we switch over here, just give us a little case study. Give me a story, one story about a client project that you've worked on recently.
So the one that really speaks volumes to the type of meaningful work that we really get excited about at CrossCom is a recent project where we've teamed up with the UNC Psychology Department.
Mm-hmm.
They recently received a grant to study the effects that technology could have on improving behavioral issues in children between the ages of 3 and 8.
Oh.
So we're really excited to have the opportunity to partner with UNC on this project. And the idea was, how can we influence in a positive way the behavior of the children and of parents that are really going through a very difficult time,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the therapy sessions that they've already received. So we developed a custom-built mobile app available on the iPhone for these participants, and it allows them to have extra resources, both from the parent and the child side, of videos to watch, surveys to take, and an easy way to access and to contact their therapists there.
Oh, interesting.
At the same time, therapists have a web app that they can then log into and see all the results of this in preparation for the session and log into it in a very secure way. And it's just a small example of the type of work that we get really excited about. And so this grant study has just started, and they're looking for participants. They've signed up for the first few. So if you fall into that category, if you have a 3 to 8-year-old, with behavioral issues, then you can reach out to us at CrossCom and we can put you in touch with this study.
Super. How would someone do that? How do they find CrossCom?
Yeah, so to find us, the best way, being a tech company, is to find us online at crosscom.net.
Bet you have a good website.
Well, you know what? We try not to be the cabinet maker without any doors in the cabinets, and that's the challenging part of it. But you can reach us there, and that's got our contact information.
And that's crosscomm.com. Correct.
Yeah. And you can also reach us at .net as well.
.net. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thanks, Justin. We'll come back, chat with you in just a minute. I want to chat with David for a minute.
Hey,
hello,
man.
David Menzies. I love what you do. Does it surprise you?
Hey, public relations people are fun, you know?
You know, we kind of all have the same goal in our lives, so we like to chat about that once in a while. I'm really thrilled to have the opportunity to talk to you because you're really, I've never met you before today, and yet you align so much with the kinds of things that I do and I think about on a regular basis. You're involved in technology, you're involved in startups, you're involved in the Triangle and throughout North Carolina and probably beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if you have any insight for our listeners. Well, first of all, I'm going to ask you the hard question, the question everybody asks me who's never had to do this before. What do you consider public relations today?
Oh, my goodness. I think today public relations is basically telling your story, whatever that story is, without getting too technical about it. I mean, Justin did a great job in the past 10, 15 minutes explaining his story and
mm-hmm.
and getting information on other worthwhile organizations and things like that. And, you know, with today's innovation community with companies like Justin's out
right.
there, they're getting smarter. Something he said struck me was talking about the compelling business reason for apps. And, you know, recently I was at an event where a gentleman got up there and was talking about his great new product where he would be taking LED fixtures and inserting little hardware pieces and turning all the LED lights into kind of a data center, so to speak. And it was a really cool technology. It was really neat. But when they opened up the floor to the Q&A, all the people in the audience were like, why? There's no reason, because for less money, you can install your own server and there's right. your data center. So the community is getting smarter. So you have to really kind of drill down and fine-tune your story. So it really, what you yeah. said before, you got to know your audience.
And the community is getting bigger.
Oh, yeah.
So absolutely. Getting your story actually heard is a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, there's, there are a lot of studies and reports in the past several years, well-renowned industry organizations like the Pew Center, mm-hmm. and they kind of pointed to four changes in media that are coming to pass. One is the consolidation of media ownership.
Right.
So there's less and less independent press, independent media, so the choices are a little slimmer. Mm-hmm. Then with the choices you have left over, the second fact is the consolidation of the newsroom. You look here in Raleigh at the News Observer
right.
and all the people who are just getting early buyouts or just leaving. Mm-hmm. And whereas the business department used to have, I guess, 6 or 7 people working now, there's just 2,
right.
basically. The third thing is the way people get their news and information. You know, they don't rely solely on print publications anymore. They use apps like Justin's and other ones to kind of drill down to what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They define what they want out of their news, kind of their own information silo, so to speak.
Exactly.
And then
things they already believe in.
Yeah. So, and then the final way is the trend towards self-publishing.
Right.
You know, all those things I just talked about combined have gotten to the point where companies, startups as well as established companies now, are building their own distribution channels.
Kind of like Business Radio X.
Exactly.
For example.
You know? And it opens up kind of a new entrepreneurial news media, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know? So whereas people before used to in PR, we would work with our clients to tell the story to reporters
yep.
who would then, you know, report on them. Now we're doing that, but in addition, we're serving as the reporters and editors in communicating directly to the audience, which is opening up a whole other can of worms.
Well, you've actually done something on your own, not a Business Radio X, but tell us about your is it daily?
It is. It's
daily is a daily now.
It is. It's nctechnews.com, and it is a free news publication focusing on technology and life sciences and all the businesses that go along with it. It kind of came into being in 2007 when I started my consultancy. I was trying to figure out a way to boost my clients' SEO for their press
sure,
releases.
Right.
So I figured I'll just, you know, throw up a blog or, you know, turn it into a kind of a news outlet because I used to be a newspaper editor.
Okay.
So I started putting up the client press releases, and then some of my peers in the PR field said, hey, Dave, you mind hooking me up? I got to get some more hits from my clients. So they started sending me their press releases. And like that old commercial, they told two friends.
they told two friends.
So now every day I get up and have a cup of coffee, and there's about 24 press releases from businesses I don't know in my email, and I just kind of have to sift through them and figure out which ones are legit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neat because a lot of the stories you find in NC Tech News are smaller startup firms,
right.
which, you know, you don't read about in the mainstream business mm-hmm. publications just because of everything we talked about before. So it's kind of a way to kind of give a little boost to the innovation economy and the community here in the Triangle.
So you are writing about really anybody who's got a technology spin on their story from North Carolina.
Yeah, it's and even some that aren't really from North Carolina but
okay.
have applicability here.
Okay.
If they're interesting, you know, that's something that I'll do. But again, it's something I do for free. It's not a real revenue stream per se,
yeah.
so I don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but again, it kind of gets the juices flowing. You know, as a PR person, you got to be on.
Oh,
right?
boy, don't
so.
You? And you need a little challenge once in a while.
Oh,
you
yeah.
need that sort of,
yeah.
to get the juices flowing, you need people to talk to you. And you
yeah.
need to have that sort of input in
yeah.
order to get
so
that going.
It's been fun.
Yeah, that's great. So you've been doing this a while, kind of like I have.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think things have changed in terms of how PR people do their jobs?
Well, I think the mistake a lot of people did in the late 90s and early 2000s was they were trying to find an electronic solution
yeah.
to the relationship
replacing
building.
People
yeah.
making us a little robotic maybe
yeah and it's you know there are things you can do in terms of disseminating press releases per se
mm-hmm.
online and then publishing them, but what I found with less and less number of reporters at important publications mm-hmm. it's even more essential to establish strong relationships with those reporters, because they're getting hit with, let's be honest, hundreds of press releases and queries a day via email, phone, et cetera, et cetera. If you don't have a good relationship with them,
right,
you're not going to break through.
I do have to say that after having started Business Radio X, I finally can relate to all the journalists who've been complaining all those years about all those idiotic PR people who don't pay attention to the journalists that they're talking
exactly.
to. You probably get the same thing now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people send me stuff for NC Tech News for shoes, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's not really the right
Well, we have a new technology in the soul. Yes, but they're created in Siberia. So what does that have to do with North Carolina?
Yeah, but things like Radio X, I mean, like I said, it's kind of a new way to get the word out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I hadn't been aware of this about Radio X, I wouldn't have been aware of Justin, you know, so it's...
Exactly.
It's
and
working.
Quite often it is the kinds of things that happen when you have that one-on-one time. So, of course, as a PR person, I'm sure you're very committed to the facial contact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's... You know, it's tough when I do have clients that are not in North Carolina.
Right.
It's kind of tough to, you know, stay in front of them all the time. Being able to actually get in a car and go and pop in and do a little visit and stuff like that. And then see people out and about. I mean, there are dozens of events here in the Triangle alone where there are a lot of entrepreneurs and innovators who
right.
are networking and so forth and so on. And I see my clients at a lot of these. You know, I meet new clients at these things.
Absolutely.
And it's a great way to, again, get energized and to share mm-hmm. ideas and to kind of keep this region moving forward.
Sure. Yeah, it's funny. I've been thinking about how, you know, when we first started doing this, there was a line. And it wasn't even in the sand. There was a wall up between church and state. There really was. And that doesn't exist anymore the way it used to. In fact, I was talking to a publisher over the weekend, and she was telling me how, you know, boy, they may publish this news publication, this business news publication every single week, but it's really about the events that they do, and it's really about the videos that they produce, and it's about all the different kinds of media that today makes it very squishy. The difference between advertising and marketing and public relations it's kind of a mess at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, some of the presentations that I give personally at different events, we talk about how the three pillars of advertising, marketing, and public relations used to be separated by that wall. And now they kind of all interact and intersperse and things like that. And, you know, the news media has had to make changes to adapt because of the economy that we're in. Advertising revenues are down so far. And they've had to do things like you're talking about, do events and kind of advertorial,
exactly.
if you will, paid advertising
Absolutely.
/ editorial. So, but again, like I said before, the innovation community is very savvy.
Yes.
And they understand when they're being sold a bill of goods as
exactly.
opposed to being told an interesting story. So, but you're right. And, you know, you see it with PR professionals as well. I mean, Jay Carney just stepped down as White House spokesperson. He worked at Time Magazine.
That's right.
You know, so there's that crossover. I don't really know what a PR professional is anymore.
Well, I think that actually it's part of our job is to help our clients understand what PR is or how it differs from communications. As a general, I actually had a client the other day say to me, I don't get it. You kind of do marketing for us in a way, but you kind of do PR, but you kind of do media relations, but you kind of, and it's like, yes, it's kind of all those things now.
Yeah, Justin's his PR guy.
I mean, absolutely.
He just did a 15-minute gig on his company, so.
He's his own spokesperson.
Mm-hmm. Might as well have your own voice in it, right?
That's why we do this. Literally have your own voice in it. So give us some do's and don'ts.
Do's and don'ts. Like I mentioned before, the community, the tech community, the innovation community, they're quite savvy. So don't BS, for lack of a better term. If you have a story to tell and it's legit, then tell it, but don't stretch the truth, because
right.
one lie and you're branded. You know, people
That's for
will
sure.
forever think of you as that guy or that gal who told that fib. Secondly, is the most important thing is to be consistent and continue to do whatever outreach you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you start and stop, or if you spend a gazillion dollars in a big launch thing and then don't do anything to follow up, you're not going to realize your return on investment.
Exactly.
I recommend with most of the folks I work with and at events that I speak at, that instead of putting all your eggs in one basket in the first month to 2 months. You do a 6 month or a year campaign of kind of drip, 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 kind of staying in front of people. So they kind of get to know you. It's like a neighbor. You're in your neighborhood. You see someone, you're familiar with them. You understand what they're all about. You feel comfortable with them. And that helps break down the wall when you're trying to make that sale.
Right. It's the same thing with for PR people. So for the agencies that are just getting started out there, you got to be out there in front of people even when they don't need a new PR firm.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's a constant thing. So all three of us are pretty committed to the region here. We're all committed to growth for entrepreneurial activities, for technology. Where do you both see technology in RTP? How do you feel we're doing?
Well, from the technology side, it's really exciting, especially for the advances in technology have allowed small businesses to do great things. For instance, you no longer have to own a server farm to build something that's scalable.
Right.
And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's why we see a lot more startups with sophisticated ideas and products really early on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all over the place. But I think especially here, leveraging the education facilities that we have, the healthcare facilities, the biosciences, that's really encouraging. And from a technology perspective, I think we're on the cutting edge. Especially with maybe, you know, Google Fiber coming in and some of the other events that may happen to really strengthen the scene here beyond RTP and to grow the small businesses.
Right. What are you seeing, David?
Yeah, I think tack on to what Justin's saying there. I think the biosciences is a definite growth sector here, especially nanotechnology. You know, you have industry leaders like Xanify and Liquidia, which are great success
top
stories.
Top of the charts.
And you know, another thing I've noticed, too, is that there's a decentralization within the tech community. You know, there's not one or two or three major organizations. It's like a bunch of different types of organizations, ones that have been around for a long time and have a lot to offer.
You mean things like CED as well as HQ as well? I mean, there's a bunch of
things like that.
Support organizations.
It's kind of like there's so many, but that's a good thing. You know, and little ones are starting up all the time, and that just helps, again, if it's a small company with 8 people versus a major player with 200 employees and, you know, 3 different locations, they all get to interact, share ideas, and that sort of thing. So that's a good thing because you don't have to, you know, work too hard to get in front of decision makers.
Yeah.
You know, we're all kind of in the same boat, suits as well as,
absolutely,
you know, people with shorts and t-shirts, which is good.
Well, I think we had something like 9 IPOs here last year in North Carolina, across North Carolina, not just in the Triangle. But I think that's indicative of the fact that we have the ability to support the entrepreneurial ecosystem and provide the growth needs for those organizations as well.
Yeah, I think the one challenge is to kind of get some of the VCs back here. You know, we lost a lot of that a few years back. So a lot of the money folks now are from out of state, which it's neither here nor there. But it would be good to see some more folks kind of building that network here, making it a little bit stronger.
I agree with that.
And I think we need just another success story, another recent success stories to try to get those VCs back into this area. A large splash.
A big splash. How big?
And that's something that, you know, I went to, I heard Bob Ingram from GSK, he said, you know, we need an Amgen, we need a, you know, Genzyme, that type of big splash.
Sure.
To really, you know, if you want to move Raleigh from where it is today to truly be the next Silicon Valley, that's what it's going to take.
Well, we've got a lot up and coming. You know, we're seeing a lot of really good things in the news about people. They're the ones that have gone public this year already really seeing a big uptick in stock price. So that's a good thing. Obviously, Amgen didn't happen overnight. So we have to help them along, not just at early stage, but throughout the growth stage. But at any rate, this was a great conversation. I appreciate both of you being here. David, how do people get in touch with you if they need some PR help?
Well, surprisingly enough, Innovative Public Relations can be found at innovativepublicrelations.com. So all my contact information is there.
And if they want to subscribe to
NC Tech News,
yes,
you can go to nctechnews.com, and there's some menu bars at the top where you
Excellent.
Find the information.
Very good. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here today, for telling your story, and helping us get the word out about Business Radio X. And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher for Metro Raleigh Business Radio.